The Gary Knoll Show, weekdays at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Broadcasting live and video streaming live from our studios in New York, you can watch today's program by going to GaryKnoll.com. No guest today. Instead, I want to deal with so many different issues, a more in-depth analysis of why our brains age, the fact that we have 90 million Americans, 90 million, almost one-third of the entire American population, who are over the age of 47. That means that you're going to lose memory, short-term memory, long-term memory, then cognition, then identity, meaning you won't recognize the people or places, and then senility or Alzheimer's, and then flip a coin because it's going to happen. Is there anything we can do to reverse this, to slow it down? You bet. The good news is we're all about solutions to these problems. It's from Michelle Flagg from Life Extension, reversing brain cell death by growing new mitochondria. Hold on a second. You're not allowed to grow new mitochondria. Who says? Well, the scientists who told us whatever cells you have when you're born, that's all you have until you die. They're wrong about just about everything when it comes to understanding the brain. So an in-depth discussion today about de-aging the brain. Then the latest on health and healing. On my program last evening, which is now posted, you can listen to, I spent almost an hour on a stream of consciousness, started off with just garlic and grape seed, and how the grape seeds, you know, like before there was seedless, there were seeds, and how those seeds and the skins, when you have them in a grape juice, throw them in a blender. That'll get them into you, or a juicer. But that actually produces fewer cancers. And then how the omega-3 fatty acids decrease cognition in older men and women, from the Journal of Nutrition for one, Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers and Prevention for the other. But I just went on this whole riff about what causes inflammation, what causes age, what causes disease, and you won't want to miss that, so you can download it. In any case, I'm going to continue today, but I'm going to give you even more. For those who have said, don't eat soy, it's dangerous. But eat meat and animal brains, that's good for you. You're smart enough to know how to do research at this point. It's been made easy with Google and other search engines. I took the time to review every single scientific study in the entire world literature on soy. Anyone that was paid for by a soy-producing or growing company, I excluded for bias. Only independent studies, still dealt with over 3,000. 98% were positive. So they are on the wrong side of this issue. So people denigrating soy, unfortunately, are doing so because of some other bias they have. It's certainly not because of the science. And I'll give you the latest on why soy is important. So we're going to deal with a lot of this. Then today I'm beginning something new. I'm going to take a look at why we're at the crisis point we are, and what we can do to understand it, and what we can do in a constructive way to change it. I'm only going to give you a little bit each time, because this is such intense information. It's dense. And if there's too much, it'll be wasted or become confusing. So over the next 6 months, I'll be laying it out. Later this week, I'll have Ralph Nader on to lay a piece of this out. Norman Solomon on how we end up going to war over and over again using the same engines of propaganda. And why is it that the people in the media, the vast majority, left and right, don't see, official media, don't seem to get this right? Why do they keep supporting the wrong side of issues? They're always on the wrong side of history and ethics, morality. Norman Solomon later in the week. But I'm going to start today, and I'm going to share something with you you've never heard that will surprise you. But once you understand who's behind all this and how these people are able to manipulate the media by controlling it, and then how the media, with the assistance of foundations and think tanks, with lobbyists and consultants, with unlimited amounts of money they can put into campaigns, with politicians they can buy, how they can literally control most of our reality, and almost all of it against our best interest. What does the media not cover, the left and the right? And I will challenge the left for what stories you have not covered. So we're going to deal with this, and it begins today. I think you'll find it interesting. Then, a little commentary, a short commentary from Chris Hedges that I thought would be a good place for us to open up the phones and have you call in to. In fact, I'm going to do two. One is from Bill Quigley, Working and Poor in the USA. And then the other, something you didn't know, because the mainstream media chose not to share it. Why? Why didn't we see this all over the mainstream media? Why wasn't this important? Busted. Monsanto is abusing illegal workers in, quote, slave-like conditions, unquote. And then we had it independently confirmed from a second source in Argentina, from Buenos Aires. I had our researchers do a double check on this to make sure it was accurate. So what does this mean? This means that one of the most nefarious and corrupt organizations in the world, who wants to dominate our food and who has the full backing and complicity of the State Department and the White House, who's met regularly with Obama and others, who was able to handpick people to head the FDA, food safety, and to head the USDA, and is 100% in support of genetic engineering of foods, that they're engaged in slave-like conditions? Yeah. Why is it the mainstream media didn't cover it? For the same reason they haven't covered 100 other issues. Who controls the media? And that's where we begin our in-depth exploration later today. So as you see, we have a packed show. Let's begin. Now, for those of you who did not hear my program, Wake Up, Talkback last evening, let me cite just quickly the two studies. It showed that if you have garlic in your diet, and this was a study of 66,000 men and women enrolled in a major study, you had a 45% lower adjusted rate for blood cancers, like leukemia. And also, if you had grape seed in your diet, you had a 43% lower chance of cancer. So my statement was simple, though it seems to have not been noticed by the scientists who wrote this. Okay, and this gets back to this monotheistic thinking, single-minded thinking, and excluding everything else. And that's where we're at today. Virtually, it's rampant in all of body politics, science, religion. Every single institution suffers from this, only being able to think of one thing without falling over like a fainting goat and frothing at the mouth. If you have one study showing 45% reduction in cancers of the blood by taking garlic in a normal amount, what would happen if you took more garlic? This morning, I had my big green juice and I put some raw garlic in there. Later this evening, I'll saute probably a half a cup of garlic lightly and blend it into some stir-fried beans and some whole grain. Would that mean then, if I took three times the amount they suggest, that I would even have a higher percentage of protection? The answer is almost definitely yes. Now they have one about grape seed. Well, the average American's not going to eat grape seeds. The average American generally eats seedless grapes. But when you're getting Concord grapes, that has seeds, and when you're drinking Concord grape juice, you're drinking the juice that was made from the seeds in it also. But what would happen if I intentionally took a supplement that had grape seed extract? It was pure grape seed extract. Let's say the equivalent of what would be in a gallon, 5 gallons, 5 gallons of grape juice. I could take all that one tablet. Would that mean then, instead of being protected by 43% from leukemia, I could be protected by 80%? And then finally, what would happen if I did both? What if in one day I just decided to do something that science is absolutely clueless about, doesn't talk about, is seem intellectually incapable of even discussing it? Combining the two. Having garlic and having some grapes with seeds, or throw some grapes with seeds into a blender, or have some grape juice. Then would that mean then that if it's 45 and 43, that gee whiz, then I'm close to 95% protected? They never take that step. That's a lack of vitalism. It's a lack of intellectual honesty. It just shows how absolutely sterile our scientific community is, even though the studies they did were good, and I commend them on that. So it's for you to do what science and your physician are incapable of doing, using common sense and reason. If 5 different things help prevent breast cancer and are proven to individually, what would happen if you took all 5? Would that mean you'd have almost no chance of developing breast cancer? The answer is probably that is correct. So that is the effort of synergy. Now, here's another one. This is a meta-analysis. Meta means many studies. In this case, it was lots of different studies on zinc. And they just wanted to know, does that little zinc lozenger, will it help with the common cold? Well, the prevailing knowledge of medicine is no, of course not. Then you ask the doctor, have you read the studies? No, but I'm certain. So you're certain without facts. Okay, well, then you're like most authority figures. You have few facts and you're certain of what you don't know. Somehow I'm getting a Donald Rumsfeld moment. I know what I know, but I don't know what I don't know, but I'm sure there are things I don't know that are unknown that I could know if I wasn't an idiot. So here's the issue. You're willing to tell me not to take that wasted zinc lozenger because you're sure it won't work, but you haven't read the studies that are sure that it does work. So are we to trust the actual scientific studies that work, or your opinion that it doesn't work? Here's the latest study from Open Respiratory Medicine Journal, peer-reviewed journal. Quote, meta-analysis concludes that zinc lozenges are beneficial in reducing the length of colds if the mineral is available in sufficient quantities. Dr. Hemilia at the University of Helsinki looked at 13 separate placebo-controlled trials examining the effects of zinc lozenges on cold duration. And they found that those that had the highest positive effect were at greater than 75 milligrams. And therefore, that's what you want. 75 milligrams of zinc would be best. Below 75 milligrams would not. So my suggestion is take a zinc lozenger a little higher than that, and that can help you lessen colds. For pregnant or for couples seeking to be pregnant, from pharmacological research, the peer-reviewed journal, it shows that antioxidants play a very strong role in the treatment of infertility issues in men and women, and concludes that the compounds, meaning antioxidants, quote, show significant promise via the effects of vascular function. And one other study here that I felt was important. A meta-analysis adds evidence to the association between the omega-3 supplementation and homocysteine reduction. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition. It looked at 11 separate studies and found that the bad inflammatory marker in our body called homocysteine, and when it's elevated, you can't feel it. You won't know it's elevated. That's why you should have a regular blood checkup about twice a year. When that's elevated, you really increase your risk of a heart attack or stroke or cancer. What causes it to be elevated? Well, alcohol in any amount. The reduction in vitamin C, B6, B12, folic acid. What causes those to get reduced? Alcohol. Every time you have a glass of alcohol, above about 8%, you're destroying the vitamin C in your body and the water-soluble B complex. So people who socially drink, not to get drunk, but just socially drink, you're really susceptible to homocysteine. But also if you're eating animal proteins, elevated homocysteine. If you're overweight, elevated homocysteine. If you're under stress, elevated homocysteine. But what if you're stressed because you are overweight and you're drinking to deal with your stress and you're eating a bad diet? Well, then you absolutely should have your blood homocysteine levels and C-reactine checked. But this shows that the omega-3 fatty acids made a big difference in helping individuals lower their homocysteine levels. Green tea can protect you against the flu. This is from the Journal of Nutrition. Researchers at the University of Shizuoka conducted a study on 2,000 individuals, and here's what it says, quote, green tea intake shows protective effects against the flu. That's good. Among children who reported drinking the green tea at least 6 days per week, there was a 40% lower risk of being diagnosed with influenza compared to those who consume fewer than 3 days per week. And what would I suggest? I would suggest doing two things. If you really want to help prevent the flu, simple formula that will help do it. And colds. First, for colds, simply take a little bottle, mix 50% alcohol and 50% hydrogen peroxide, a little mister. And when you go to work in the morning, mist your keyboard and wipe it. Mist your telephone. Why? Because when you pick up the telephone to talk, you're not aware of it. But if you had a freeze frame, high resolution camera, every time you talk, thousands of tiny water beads leave your mouth and go on to a surface area. Now, how far can those water beads go? About 60 feet. Now imagine you're in an office or workspace where people are coughing, hacking, talking loud. That whole air is going to be hanging with suspended water beads until they land on something. And then now you touch your face. How often do you touch your face? Oh, you can touch your face over 2,000 times a day, your mouth, and then whatever's on your hands, on your mouth. Ah, now that's an entry point. Your eye and your nose. All three of these are entry points in the body. So if you alcohol the surfaces and wipe them down, which takes, what, a matter of seconds, that helps reduce this. Every school teacher, when they go in the class in the morning before the students come, they should simply go around and have each desktop alcohol, you know, just sprayed and wipe it down. You're disinfecting that. I'll bet you could reduce absenteeism by 50% at least. Now, what else can we do? Well, we can take a green tea in the morning and we can add some vitamin C to it and quercetin. How about 20 drops of wild oregano oil and 1,000 milligrams of olive leaf extract? You do that, you've supercharged your immune system. You've coated your throat. When I get onto an airplane, I take a simple spray of colloidal silver and I spray it my nostrils around my mouth. I also wear a little thing that no one notices under my shirt that ionizes and kills the bacteria and particulate matter within a foot of my head. They don't see it, doesn't hurt anyone, but it protects me. About every hour I'm in the air, I just take another little spritz, and anything that's on my nose, nasal passages or on my lips or mouth, it's killed. It's quiet, subtle, discreet, extremely lethal. By the way, I'm working on a new invention. I've been working on it for about a year. Hopefully, I'll have it done in the next 2 or 3 or 4 months that will kill all bacteria of every strain and viruses everywhere. Hospitals, dentist offices, your home. It's being tested now. I'll let you know if it works. So that's something we can do for flu level. And by the way, septic shock is not an uncommon situation. There's an article in Critical Care that documents the findings of decreased levels of coenzyme Q10 in patients with septic shock. And so I suggest 200 milligrams a day of coenzyme Q10, especially if you're susceptible. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment. Please stay with us. like to welcome all of you all over the world, and over 55% of the people listening are listening outside the United States, and I thank you for tuning in for us. I'm Gary Noll, broadcasting in our studios. No guest today, but I am going to do two short comments from Bill Quigley from Common Dreams and from Chris Hedges from Truthdig. They're both short, but they're very important. I'd like for you to think about this and call in and share your points of view. We're very positively inclined to use this forum as a way of having other people have a voice. And I rarely do a six-hour special, in-depth, original investigative report. That's exactly what I'm doing tonight on the Progressive Commentary Hour, which is the most downloaded radio program in the United States that we're aware of, a six-hour special. We intend to show in depth that the charges by CNN and Anderson Cooper and the British Medical Journal and Brian Deere are completely wrong when it comes to Dr. Andrew Wakefield. We feel that we have uncovered enough information to show that he was right, they are wrong, and how in the world do you end up destroying the reputation of one of the finest scientific physicians in the world? It's a part of what happens when you step outside of the official institutions of medicine. And he did, and they went after him. We're here to do a six-hour special. Got to be patient for it, but it'll be worth it. 6 o'clock. Now, I'm going to give these two comments, and then I'm going to ask you to call in. This is from Chris Hedges. Here's what he says. This is part of what he says. The country's most egregious criminals, the ones who have stripped some of the those being sentenced in daily courts, their right to a decent educational system gone, health care gone, their jobs, their dignity, and their hope, those wallowing in tens of and hundreds of millions of dollars, those who had gained the system to enrich themselves at our expense, were doing the dirty business of speculation in the tall office towers a few blocks from where I'm at. They were making money. A few of these wealthy plutocrats were with the President of the United States, who was in New York that day to attend four fundraisers that took in an estimated $3 million. For $15,000, you could have joined Barack Obama at Daniel, an exclusive Upper East Side restaurant. For $35,000, you could have been at a gathering hosted by movie director Spike Lee. Most of those sentenced in that courtroom where I was that day, by the way, he's referring to him being in court for being arrested for civil disobedience, Chris Hedges was, didn't make that much in a year. It was a good day in New York for Barack Obama. It was a bad day for us. Our elected system, already hostage to corporate money and corporate lobbyists, gasped its last 2 years. It died on January 21st, 2010, when the Supreme Court in Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission granted to corporations the right to spend unlimited amounts of money on campaigns. The ruling turned politicians into corporate employees. If any politician steps out of line, dares to defy corporate demands, this ruling hands to our corporate overlords the ability to pump massive amounts of anonymous money into campaigns to make sure the wayward are defeated in silence. Politicians like Obama are hostages. They jump when corporations say jump. They beg when corporations say beg. They hand corporations exemptions, subsidies, trillions in dollars of our money, no-bid contracts and massive loans with virtually no interest. And they abolish any regulations that impede profits and protect the citizen. Corporations like Goldman Sachs, because they own the system, are bailed out by federal dollars and given essentially free government loans to gamble. I'm not sure what to call our economic system, but it's not capitalism. And if any elected official so much as murmurs anything that sounds like dissent, the Supreme Court ruling permits corporations to destroy him or her, and they do. Turn off your televisions. Ignore the Newt, Mitt, Rick, Barack reality show. It is as relevant to your life as the gossip on Jersey Shore. The real debate, the debate raised by the Occupy movement about inequality, corporate malfeasance, the destruction of the ecosystem, the security and surveillance state, is the only debate that matters. You won't hear it on the corporate-owned airwaves and cable networks, including MSNBC, which has become to the Democratic Party what Fox News is to the lunatic fringe of the Republican Party. You won't hear it on NPR or PBS. You won't read about it in our major newspapers. The issues that matter about being debated, you're not going to hear them. Voting will not alter the corporate systems of power. Voting is an act of political theater. Voting in the United States is as futile and sterile as in the elections I covered as a reporter in dictatorships like Syria, Iran, and Iraq. There were always opposition candidates offered up by these dictatorships. Give the people the illusion of choice. Throw up the pretense of debate. Let the power elite hold public celebrations to exalt the triumph of popular will. We can vote for Romney or Obama, but Goldman Sachs and ExxonMobil and Bank of America and the defense contractors will always win. There's little difference between our elected charade and the ones endured by the Syrians and Iranians. Do we really believe that Obama has or ever had any intention to change the culture in Washington? In this year's presidential election, I will vote for a third-party candidate, either the Green Party candidate or Rocky Anderson, assuming one of them makes it onto the ballot in New Jersey. But voting is nothing more than a brief chance to register our disgust with the corporate state. It will not alter the configuration of power. The campaign is not worth our emotional, physical, or intellectual energy. Our efforts must be directed towards acts of civil disobedience to chip away through nonviolent protest at the pillars of the established. Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges, and for those of you who have that frustration, we've been doing some research. We believe that we can make a difference. We believe that our vote will make a difference, but not in this election, but for the next one, if we're smart enough to lay down the principles by which we should all be working collectively together, the thousands of different groups, environmental groups, human rights groups, feminist groups, health groups, freedom of choice groups, those who are liberating themselves from the confines of the official ideology of the left and the right and who are now independent and taking a step towards real progressivism, seeking authentic change that benefits the common person. But you have to know where the problem is. You see, I will offer a little different thought here. I have enormous respect for Chris Hedges, but I believe that it is not at Goldman Sachs or Bank of America or Obama or Ron Emanuel or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton or our State Department or its policies to mandate secretly that we found out through WikiLeaks that we must use genetic engineering. It's not even with Monsanto. It is far more pernicious. The problem is that the people who hold power both on the left and the right in official positions, but have disguised that power and whose interests they really serve. It's not about cash. They've got all the money in the world. It is about power. And that is absolutely at the heart of it. I'm going to play a tape now from just a part of a documentary to start you on understanding where some of the problems arise. You could not have, for example, pull back a moment, just for a moment, and look at the larger picture. I'm going to ask you to connect just one dot today. Have we ever had anyone in the mainstream media, anyone in any official institution, such as have you ever heard any of those who are either calling themselves liberal or conservative, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, anyone on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, CNN, anyone on NPR, anyone on PBS ever say that Lee Harvey Oswald was not the only person assassination, or Sirhan Sirhan was not the only person assassinating R.F. Kennedy, or James O'Rae was not the only person in the assassination of Martin Luther King? No. I did 67 one-hour specials over a five-year period on WBAI, which highlighted the truth of how that all came about and who was behind this. The mainstream media chose not to cover. When we do major investigations on the politics of the AIDS establishment and how $800 billion, you heard me right, $800 billion was siphoned in off that from the public into their own special foundations and pharmaceutical companies to make massive profit. They would never debate the issue of what really causes AIDS and the best way of treating AIDS-defining illnesses, not once. Why is it they have not taken a position to look at the science that challenges the safety and efficacy of vaccines? Not once. They're always pro-vaccines. They're pro-anything on AIDS without ever looking at the facts. Why is it these same organizations refuse to look at who profits from war? Maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm wrong today. Maybe ABC, CNN, maybe those individuals who hold themselves up like Bill O'Reilly, maybe they actually did an original investigative report to show here are the 7,000 companies that all had inside lobbyists, former generals and colonels and legislators who walked into the Defense Department, walked in to the State Department and said, we want this amount of money for doing this, and they got those non-compete contracts that allowed them to siphon an enormous amount of money off the war. So the longer the war goes on, the more money they make. And who are they? They're the people who are the perpetual war machine. And if there's no legitimate threat, they create a threat. And the media supports them. The media actually gives them a forum, both on MSNBC and on Fox and the networks. Well, maybe I missed it. Maybe there were people like Geraldo Rivera and Bill O'Reilly and others on the left who actually went into Afghan villages and showed you what happens in the day in the life of an average citizen whose home has been bombed, whose fields are destroyed, and whose children are standing there in front of the camera starving to death. Maybe they showed you the 500,000 dead bodies of children who died under Bill Clinton's sanctions, Hillary Clinton's sanctions, Madeleine Albright's sanctions. Well, the sanctions were acknowledged. And the cost of those sanctions on with Leslie Stahl interviewing Madeleine Albright, then under the Clintons, as Secretary of State, said that 500,000 dead Iraqi children was worth it. You're suggesting 500,000 children who did nothing to anyone? But I see those weren't American children. Those weren't wealthy people's children. Well, here, Mrs. Clinton and all of the suck-ups on the left who are the Clinton accolades, what if those were your children that were going to be sacrificed? Sorry, we have to allow your child to die. They're going to die a painful death. They're going to have, they're going to end up with hepatitis. They're going to end up with cholera because there's water's not clean. Would you say, okay, if it serves some political good, sure. But as long as it's that, did we see any of the mainstream media, any of it, showing us the suffering that we inflict upon any other nation in the world? Never, not once. Not once. You can't show me that person. How's this possible? How is it possible we know the Washington Post, New York Times are incapable of doing anything decent, but actual legitimate, not-in-the-pocket politician, real journalist like the Seymour Hersh's, he brings a story, nobody wants to cover it. It's kryptonite news. How does that happen? It happens because there's a group of individuals that no one wanted to acknowledge, that the moment you brought up their name, you were considered a nut job. The very people who said, look at the banking community, look at the financiers, look at who's behind this, and everybody says, conspiracy nut. Well, then we found out it was the banking community. It was the financiers. They were right all along. They might have radicalized their message. Well, now here's the second part that you haven't heard about, and you're going to hear someone very powerful. And why hasn't this ever been shown on any other network?
The year is 1917, and Representative Oscar Calloway enters a disturbing statement into the U.S. congressional record. The statement reveals why J.P. Morgan interests hired 12 high-ranking news managers. The 12 were asked to determine the most influential newspapers in America. They were to figure out how many news organizations it would take to control generally the policy of the daily press of the United States. The 12 found it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers. An agreement was reached. The policy of the papers was bought, and an editor was placed at each paper to ensure that all published information was in keeping with the new policy. soon, that policy would be defined by a front group formed by J.P. Morgan and his colleagues. In fact, Morgan's personal attorney was founding president of the organization, the Council on Foreign Relations. Today, the CFR maintains that its goal is to increase America's understanding of the world. However, the actual objective of this highly exclusive club is revealed by the rare admissions of the insiders themselves.
We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government.
And who did you just listen to? David Rockefeller. The last surviving Rockefeller brother, the Rockefeller Foundation, the people behind genetically engineering of foods and the so-called Green Revolution, which was a massive disaster leading to millions of deaths and starvation, but it brought us the Monsantos of the world and the DuPonts of the world with genetic engineering. I'm going to replay that one tape because you've never heard it. You've never heard him at a meeting that was never supposed to become public, but you're listening to it now. David Rockefeller, the head of the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about all the media they control and thanking them for never doing a story that would embarrass any of the, well, why don't we add in the Business Roundtable members or the other council members? So you can fight amongst yourself, you can argue over issues, who's got the right agenda, but never talk about someone or something that could fundamentally shift the power away from our interests. And what did he say? Maybe I heard him wrong. Maybe I'm just a little dumber today than I was yesterday. Maybe I didn't hear him say world government, did I? Surely. Now that will really cause some people on the left to get anxious. They'll start to break out in hives, as they tend to do when truth hits them, because they're so comfortable in the elitist notion and arrogance of that agenda. These are the corporate Democrats I'm talking about. Let's listen to what he had to say again. Listen carefully to what he said. This is one of the most powerful men in the world.
We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government.
Yeah, well, I don't remember voting for you or anyone else to head a world government. So you want to know why we're not getting to the big stories now? We've just prepared some of the stories they're not willing to address. This is just some. They don't touch these at all. Alternative global movements to the World Economic Forum, such as the World Social Forum. Who are the Business Roundtable, the Bilderbergs? Domination of policymakers in the Eurozone from big banks, particularly Goldman Sachs. The scope of protests in the Occupy movement and in the Eurozone. Anything that questions the viability and promises of free market capitalism. Psychological and neurocognitive science showing the rich and most and powerful in the multinational banks and firms have psychopathological qualities. They're psychopaths. The real conditions of Palestinians in Gaza, NATO atrocities in Libya, the darker side of Israel's foreign policy in the Middle East, especially Mossad and intelligence ops, the scope of civilian deaths in Afghan and Iraq, depleted uranium and how it's forever polluting the entire Middle East, alternative scenarios to the 9/11 Commission official report, American antagonism and military threats to China. The majority of drone operations are failures. The dangers of nuclear power reactors. Real climate change science proving human responsibility. Big oil cover-ups of environmental catastrophes. Dangers of genetically modified crops in every respect. The short and long-term dangers of hydrofracking. Any advancements in clean renewable energy technologies. Benefits of alternative medical discoveries, big pharma and big insurance fraud in healthcare, the scope of dangerous drugs on the market and the epidemic of fines against pharmaceutical and insurance firms, the antidepressant scandals, the creation of diseases that do not exist to sell drugs that we shouldn't have. historical denialism, Reagan's dealing with Iran revolutionary regime, the Gulf of Tonkin false flag, U.S. backing of dictators and support of regimes, the Sandinistas, Pinochet, Saddam Hussein, the Bushes, bin Laden's, the Georgia dictatorship, and flower revolutions in the Caucasus countries, U.S. domination in Central Asian nations, and weapons in rich encirclement of Russia. Think you're going to hear or read about those? You won't. Rare is the exception, and then it's spun only in one direction. That's why you have to pull back from this problem to see the larger picture. When you do, then you understand why we are limited in what we see and what we hear, and why now they're trying to limit the Internet, the last bastion of freedom of expression. I'm Gary Knoll. Just something to allow you to think on. And by the way, just to let you know that more research is being done about why are these people not being prosecuted who committed these crimes. This is from Reuters. Quote, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer, head of the Justice Department's criminal division, were partners for years at a Washington law firm that represented, you guessed it, who's who of big banks and other companies at the center of alleged foreclosure fraud. This is an investigation by Reuters. Quote, the firm Covington & Burling is one of Washington's biggest white shoe law firms. Law professors and other federal ethics experts said that federal conflict of interest rules required Holder and Brewer to recuse themselves from any Justice Department decisions relating to law firm clients they personally have done work for. But the Justice Department in Covington declined to say if either official had personally worked on matters. So probably one of the reasons now we see no one has been challenged on those. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Knoll. Now, we're going to go some other issues. This on Monsanto. As you know, I'm doing a major documentary, which will be out in the next 6 months, on genetic engineering of our food. And this is from Anthony Guicciardi. And it says, Monsanto's disregard for human health is evidenced by their hazardous GMO crops and herbicides, but a shocking new report has revealed the company's illegal slave-like working conditions, forcing slave workers to work the cornfields 14 hours a day and buy their food at highly inflated prices from the company's store. Monsanto has been running these slave rings for an unknown number of years. What's more is the company not only hired all of the workers illegally, but prevented them from leaving the farm premises and withheld their salaries. The information came to light following a raid by Argentina's tax agency known as AFIP, where it was revealed that the farm hands were being forced to work almost twice as long as legally permissible and given no compensation at all. Amazingly, AFIP says that it will hold Monsanto responsible for the slave-like conditions. But then there's a whole history that I won't go into today on Monsanto, and we had it independently confirmed through Argentina. So, does this mean that doing slave camps put you out of favor by going to the White House? Not at all. How about allowing the Justice Department to carry, or State Department to carry on promoting your genetic engineering of crops around the world? Not at all. Anything bad going to happen to you? Not at all. Okay, well, that must be good to be Monsanto then. That's what happens when you have a seat at the round table. Remember what I said? They protect each other. You can do no wrong. They will always spin it. So, and you don't see this as main news. By the way, over the weekend, I did a lecture on if it's my life, so I'm going to live it my way. Powerful lecture, 2.5 hours. But there was a snowstorm, and we were flooded with people called saying, I can't make it, I'm stuck. So what I'm going to do is in this coming Sunday, I'm going to redo the lecture all from scratch for those who could not be there, knowing that you were prevented from coming because of the snowstorm. Give us a call at 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. You have to rebook for my lecture. It's going to be Sunday at 3 p.m. following our arthritis group. And by the way, yesterday with our arthritis group, our health support group, 1 week, and we filmed everyone, 1 week, you had people saying they had range of motion, pain gone, energy, stiffness, a woman who hadn't been able to move. She said, my hands have been like a claw for 3 years, and now she's able to move her fingers. That's after 1 week. We have 3 more weeks to go. We look forward to filming them. We're going to split the screen. I'm going to put it up on YouTube showing you before and after and showing you what can happen in 4 weeks with this new lifestyle modification protocol, and I'll share all that with all of you. Joining me in studio right now is Elizabeth, who takes your emails, and Jason, our program director. Hi, Jason. We'll start with you.
Hi. Good afternoon, Gary. I just wanted to come in and basically say I want to thank our listeners for coming to us and joining us more and more each week, Gary. We have been averaging over 16,600 new listeners weekly. These have been mostly young people joining this great progressive movement because, like us, they care about being socially aware and making changes in this great world. We are at right now the most vital, fastest-growing station in the United States, and while others are losing listeners in droves, we are gaining weekly. So I just want to make sure I thank everyone for coming to join us, and to please visit you at the website, GaryNell.com, to see all the great work we're doing, our great articles, and from other people who we have joining you as
well. So we have 16,000 new young people every week?
Every week we get new listeners that are joining us at that rate.
I didn't know that. Well, that's just good. Phenomenal. Yeah. Well, thank them.
I thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming on board, especially those who are vitalist. I appreciate it. Let's say hello before we go to you, Elizabeth. Let's say hello to Frank from Manhattan. Hi, Frank. Your turn. You're on the air.
Gary?
Yes.
Gary, you were just talking about what they won't cover. What they don't cover is the Federal Reserve, created in 1913, which runs monetary policy for 100 years. They never cover that. Nobody, left, right, middle, center, nobody talks about the Federal Reserve, and if they do, they say you're crazy for mentioning it. Founded by J.P. Morgan, he's still running it from his grave.
Didn't I just play the first part of showing you the evolution of this?
Right.
Trust me. We will bring in constitutional law professors and scholars who will take apart the Federal Reserve. It's completely corrupt. It should be abolished. And they're only, and isn't it interesting, the only person running for office willing to talk about that at all is Ron Paul. And you see how the left and the right have backhanded him, as if taking his earlier statements that I absolutely agree we're wrong. I would disagree on 30 points, but at least get the forum so we can talk about our foreign policy and talk about our monetary system and talk about the bailouts to the too big to fail banks. And so we will continue down that road.
Every
Frank.
War from World War I has been financed by these people.
You're right. Frank, thank you. I appreciate your input. George from Connecticut. Hi, George.
I just wanted to mention one possible solution to this. I mean, I believe in the Alexander solution because I, from my own experience, I had an experience many years ago when I couldn't get the town hall to stop drilling overnight. It was driving everybody crazy, keeping them up. When I said I would demonstrate in front of the thing, until my wife prodded me, and I said, look, I know where the mayor lives. I'm going to have 300 angry people outside his house all night keeping him up. And all of a sudden, I put down the phone and called up all the state and federal people, half an hour, put the phone back down after half an hour calling all these people up. Instantaneously, they called up, but we have the solution solved. You've got to take it right to their own door, not to their administrative offices. They laugh at you.
That's correct.
For example, Lieberman, who basically is behind a lot of these bills that are basically trying to shut down the internet and the National Defense Authorization Act, he's within easy distance of the train station. He lives 40 Strawberry Hill in Stamford, Connecticut. We could have a demonstration in front of his place right across the street from Stamford High School, which was his alma mater. It'd be easy to put there. If it was right in his face, all of a sudden he wouldn't have the arrogance to say that he wants to jail people just for saying something nasty about him.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that input. And one more quick one. We'll just say hello to, is it Maya from New York City?
Yes. Hey, Gary. Love your information. Thanks for the clip. Alex Jones, in a few recent programs, referenced a New York Times article, Manufactured Doomsday, and he was talking about the 200 labs, some of them recently located to the Midwest in farmland, that are level 4 in terms of biological weaponized entities versus it being level 2 facilities. And we want to put your head on some of this information that Alex has been talking about recently, and love you and keep up the good work.
Thank you. We are ahead of that. We're on it. I appreciate it. We'll take some more calls, time permitting. But now we're going to go to Elizabeth in the studio. But I also want to mention that I've added one more person, and I'm going to hire another person. If you have a master's degree credited and a dietitian in clinical nutrition, and you would like to serve the public, help people, you will not charge them a penny. I will pay you a very good salary and benefits, and in turn, you help people for free. We have many on my staff that do that, but there are more people now. And now I know why we're getting so many calls of people wanting help. I work with the terminally ill people, the most serious, but everyone else works every day. We're seeing a lot of people, but we have more and more people asking for help, and I'm going to need someone. Call Elizabeth, and you've got to help people. You've got to be a person that cares about people, loves human nature, smart, and study my work so at least you know the perspective I'm using to get people healthy. And then we'll hire you, and then you can help people, but you're helping them for free. Elizabeth, can be your number?
Yes, it's 646-240-7148. That's 646-240-7148.
And that's for persons who are qualified, looking for full-time work, good-paying job, okay, and doing something good to help people. But I also hired someone a couple weeks ago, and because I started getting people asking, I don't know how to cook. I'm people with different ethnic backgrounds who want to shift away from the unhealthy part of that to a healthier alternative, yet still keep the type of flavor and the presentation, and also someone who was smart, who could help them on all levels, whether they were trying to break eating habits or addictions. And so I hired a woman. Her name is Nadia. She graduated top of her class, Yeshiva University, with a doctorate, Albert Einstein School of Medicine, top of the class, number one. She now works to help you for free. And that's what she does, I think 3 days a week or 4 days a week. And so we got one of the most qualified people in America to work with you, to help you in shopping, cooking, recipes, juicing, detoxing, you name it. She's got the full spectrum covered. Nadia, are you on the line?
Okay.
Nadia.
No, she's not there right now. Okay, well, if you'd like Nadia to help you, and again, it's free, no strings attached, but especially if you want to do more in the way of becoming self-sufficient and shifting to healthier foods and regimens and juicing, because she masters all this. She's an example of everything, vegan, healthy, and smart. You don't graduate number one from Albert Einstein without being smart. But very kind, very thoughtful. Give her a call, and I don't know the number. What number should they call?
For this, it should be 212-874-4000. That's 212-874-4000.
Good. So these are just more people that I've hired. Pay them a very good salary so they can help people who need help and take their time and give them time for free. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, let's go over to you. Oh, by the way, the board's report. Charleston, in a sign of renewed confidence, just minutes after former House Speaker Newt Gingrich romped to victory in the South Carolina primary, he changed his Facebook status to in an open relationship. And Mr. Gingrich made no reference to his new Facebook status during his victory speech, in which he made an emotional appeal to Americans to, quote, I say to each and every one of you, join me in my marriage. The former House Speaker used the speech to highlight the differences between himself and the current resident in the White House. Quote, the American people have a choice. Do they want a president who issues food stamps or one who runs up a $500,000 tab at Tiffany's? And Mr. Gingrich drew cheers and a standing ovation as he concluded his remarks. Quote, in closing, I'm staying at the Marriott, room 205, ladies. And yet another boost, Mr. Gingrich received this nod from former rival Herman Cain. Quote, I'm not endorsing Newt Gingrich, but I'm endorsing his lifestyle. At the White House, President Obama made only a glancing reference to the results in South Carolina, telling reporters, quote, I haven't been this happy since we smoked bin Laden. For his part, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney minimized Mr. Gingrich's 12% margin of victory. Quote, That's even less than I pay in taxes. And what do you have on your agenda?
This is from Anonymous. The husband is in the New York Police Department. When they've passed by on several occasions very late on the Upper West Side, about 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning, they've noticed that you have your light on. You're counseling people in your office on the second floor. And the question is, why do you see people so late?
When am I supposed to see him?
Exactly.
In the morning at 4 o'clock when I'm doing my exercises and writing, when I'm doing the investigative reporting and calling people, when I'm filming, when I'm doing my shows, of which I do several, 15 hours a week live broadcasting, when I'm answering 100 or so emails per day, the only time I have is between 10 at night and 2 in the morning. Also, for a lot of people, and if they can't make it here, I counsel them by phone if they live outside of the area. But if they can, it's quiet, and there's privacy. And that way, no one's overhearing anything they're saying, and that's the hours I give them.
Right. Yes. The only time you can have. You're so busy during the
business. Yeah, otherwise it's just one day into the next.
Yes, exactly.
That's the only reason I do it late.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other issues?
Yes, I have a
Well, wait, let's just say hello to Stephen from New Jersey. Hi, Stephen, you're on.
Hey, how are you, Gary?
Excellent
job every day. I've been listening to you for like 20 years. I just wanted to two questions. One, do you think that the voting machines, I guess Diebold owns them, if they're rigged or controlled? And once David Rockefeller passes away, I think he's like over 100 or something, he's in a wheelchair now, would the policies change and his control change?
No. No, one of the things you'll notice that since J.P. Morgan in Europe in the Rothschild family, in J.P. Morgan American in the Rothschild family in Europe, the Rothschilds actually gave the controlling money to J.P. Morgan. Without Rockefeller's money, J.P. Morgan would have gone broke early on. And they put people to work with Morgan, including Warburg, and then there was a lot of intermarrying in the families. You never see their names on companies. So people don't realize, and we've done a chart, how many thousands of companies these very powerful families control. For example, if I ask you, who controls the Federal Reserve? You'll say, well, first, it's not federal, it's private banks. The president appoints the head of the Federal Reserve, but outside of that, there's no legal standing that it has to be accountable to the United States people. All right, these are for-profit banks. Yes. Does the Federal Reserve actually make a profit? Yes, it does, on every transaction. And that's then distributed to the different regional banks. Well, then, who heads those banks? Well, they each have a governor that then sits on the board. But who owns the controlling stock in the bank? Who are the chief stockholders who would then be policymakers in that individual bank? And then you start to see there's where they are. These are always the people once removed. You won't see them with the Hoover Institute or the Cato Institute or the Heritage Foundation or the Free Prize Institute or these other 1,000 nonprofit think tanks. But their organizations fund them. And all the people, left and right, conservative and liberal, support them. You're allowed to have differences, but the differences are intramural. They're never threatening the power. They don't allow power to go outside of what they can control. So if you look at the members of the Business Roundtable, and you look at the members of the Foreign Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and Bilderberg Group, and then you go back and look at the genealogical charts of the Rothschilds, and then in the United States, you'll see how interconnected they all are. Then take a look at the actual holding companies, and then through the holding companies and trust, look at where they put their money, and where you put your money, if it's large enough, you then have a stake in the outcome. You have a person on the board of directors, in time you have a majority, and that's how, for example, Chase Manhattan, they control. They don't own it, but they control it. You don't have to own something to control something. And that's why they control the media. Because Rupert Murdoch, Tom Brokaw, Diane Sawyers, they're all on these boards. And now we heard today what the real agenda is, and it's been there all along, but nobody wanted to open that door and take a look because they wouldn't know how to handle it. They wouldn't know how to wrap their mind around it. We're not afraid of those issues. Steve, thank you for calling, and I appreciate your comments. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Remember, a big program tonight, 6 hours. Be patient. Imagine what it's like to put this together, to do the research, thousands of hours it took, so we can have this kind of program and bring truth to the lie that Andrew Wakefield should be discarded on the junk heap of the scandal. He is not the cause of the problem, and we're going to show you that tonight. Next up, The Natural Nurse, right here on Progressive Radio Network.